welcome to our broadcast. Today we're going to talk about that verse in Isaiah 59 that says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19. Who's the enemy? What's the flood? And what is the standard? Well, the dictionary says a flood is a very large quantity of people or things that need to be dealt with. Well, we have a lot of people and a lot of things that need to be dealt with today. The Lord shall lift up a standard. Now, when it's talking about a standard here, it's not talking about getting your hair cut and what kind of clothes you wear. It's talking about a banner. And in Isaiah 59 and verse 19, we have specific instructions concerning what to do when the enemy comes in like a flood. Now, an enemy is something that harms or weakens something else. And so we have this situation today. We need to face the facts. We're to lift up a standard against him. The enemy has been flooding into our churches in the past few years at an alarming rate, and we can be sure the tide of compromise will flood even more in the days ahead if we do not lift up a standard against him. And if we don't do that, we are going to lose our young people to the compromise that is flooding in. Now again, the Hebrew word standard is not about a dress standard or a music standard, etc. It is referring to raising up a banner. It says in Numbers 2 and verse number 2, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. Every man, whether that's fathers, whether that's husbands, whether that's pastors, every man needs to set up his banner and say, hey, this is where I stand, and I want everybody to see exactly where I stand. Now, we have an alarming flood of compromise that is coming in, and how it's coming into our churches is from our so-called fundamental movement. Now, we better start sandbagging if we want to protect our young people from the apostasy of the hour. We better start sandbagging at home and at the local church. Now, the two greatest false doctrines that have flooded in from our so-called fundamental movement in recent years is the denying of God's plan of salvation and the rejecting of the scriptures concerning the doctrine of separation. Now we said, you know, Jesus said you need to repent. Well, he didn't know what he's talking about. We're going to dump that. How are you going to get a crowd if you had to tell them to repent? Just get them to pray a little prayer. You know, it's a strange thing that we'll say that doesn't work for Catholics, but you call yourself a fundamental independent Baptist, just pray a little prayer minus repentance and you're going to get into heaven. No, you're not. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. Well, we also have this problem in the separation department, and the time has come for sincere parents and sincere pastors to protect their families. Hosea 4 and 6 is still in the Bible. It says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and pastors and parents, we better educate our young people or we're going to lose them to the compromisers in the movement. And again, I want to emphasize, we're talking about the movement. There is no scriptural grounds whatsoever for a movement. God's program is the local church. Well, we set that local church back at the turn of the century back there when we came into the 1900s, and we said, oh, we got to have a movement. Well, we're living at the end of that mess now, and we need to just understand that God never sanctioned a movement in the first place. Now, we look in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32, and it says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. There's what we need to do today. Israel was in trouble. The situation was very serious, mainly because because the leadership of Israel, much like the spiritual leadership of today, is a mess. You can look in the political world, you can look in the home, you can look in the church, whether it's politics or whether it's parents or whether it's pastors. We just don't really want to do what the Bible says to do. We're just floating through and doing that which is right in our own eyes. Well, if we look in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we see the enemies of Israel were attacking the Philistines, it says, fought against Israel. Well, how was Israel set up for that? Well, they had a lot of men, and they had a lot of machinery, too. There was no shortage either one of those. It says in verse 2, they're armed with the bows. Verse 7, men of war fit for the battle. Verse 23, ready and armed for the war. Again in verse 24, experts in war, verse 33, with all instruments of war, verse 33, 35 and 36, both say they were expert in war. Verse 37, with all manner of instruments of war. Verse 38, men of war that could keep rank. They had no shortage of men. They had no shortage of machinery. But their problem was they needed to know what to do. And so we read in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32, there was a few men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We also need to know what to do. We've got lots of men. We've got lots of machinery. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? Well, Hosea 4:6 says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we're told in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. Well, they had the understanding of the times, it says back here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And we need to have an understanding of the times today. Well, concerning the world, one word will pretty well sum it up, and that is anarchy. We need to face the facts that we're living in a world of anarchy. Anarchy is a non-recognition of authority. We're living in a time when the average person in this world rejects all authority and wants only to do that which is right in his own eyes. When it comes to the Christian world, we're living in an age of apostasy, and we need to face the fact that the majority of people we call Christians are apostates. Today. That's right, apostate. Apostasy is simply turning from the revealed truth. In the 60s, I saw what we called the evangelical movement promoting apostasy. So I jumped over to the fundamental movement, and now the same thing is happening all over again. Leaders who call themselves fundamentalists are now turning from the revealed truth. For instance, as we mentioned, the subject of salvation, oh, let's change that. Separation, let's not bother with that. That is apostasy. What we call Christianity, fundamentalism included, is turning to the fables that are mentioned in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. We are living in the Laodicean age that was prophesied in the book of Revelation. And so we look in the world and we say anarchy. We look among so-called Christianity today and the word is apostasy. Well, God has always had a remnant. All through the Old Testament, when God's people went apostate, God always had a remnant, and the same thing is true today. It says in Romans 11 and verse number 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant. But our greatest danger today is the possibility of apathy among the remnant. The world, we have anarchy. Amongst Christians, we have apostasy. But the remnant, the danger is apathy. Apathy is the loss of concern for our responsibilities. Israel's remnant, they had a remnant. And where were they when Elijah was up on that mountain fighting the battle? They were hiding somewhere. There's 7,000, God said, had not bowed the knee to Baal. However, they were nowhere to be found when Elijah faced the enemies of God all by himself. And then there was 100 prophets, and what were they doing? Oh, they were cowering in a cave somewhere. If our remnant does not take a responsibility seriously, we will go into captivity with the rest of God's people as the enemy comes in like a flood. We need simply to face the facts, and we need to face the future. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, he also said in Matthew 7 and verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, Matthew 7:14 has absolutely nothing to do with unsaved people. people finding the way to heaven. You can read the commentaries all you want. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read the whole thing together, and you'll see he was talking only to Christians, and he was talking to them, and he said over and over again about their Father which is in heaven. He wasn't saying that to the Roman soldiers or the Pharisees at the bottom of the mountain. He was talking only to the Christians, and he said to those Christians that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few Christians there will be that will find it. When Christ said few would find the narrow way, he was talking about Christians walking the narrow way, and few Christians are finding the narrow way because few Christians are looking for it. Now, Jesus said when he returned, it would be like the days of Noah. 1 Peter 3:20 says, they were disobedient in the days of Noah, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. It says, in Noah's days, people began calling upon the name of the Lord, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, they were doing that, but Matthew 24, Jesus said in verse 29, then the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, lots of people calling on the name of the Lord. But when the flood came, there was only eight, a very small remnant. Well, as we look into the world, we said one word will describe it, and that is anarchy. Well, we can't do anything about that. The Bible says it's coming. It was prophesied. We can't fight against the anarchy. When it comes to Christianity, one word will describe that, and that word is apostasy, and we can't fight that either. We're not told to fight that. The Bible says in the book of Jude, it is needful for us to earnestly contend for the faith. It doesn't say contend against the anarchy or contend against the apostasy. It's prophesied. It's coming. No sense fighting that. But we do need to have an understanding of the times to know what we need to do. And what we need to do is to earnestly contend for the faith. Be that in our homes as parents, be that in our churches as pastors, the time is to earnestly contend for the faith. This is not a time to get apathetic. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him.